This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saligi Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Great to be with you on a Monday. Hey, my name isn't Amy Marks, of course. Look at that.
What, were you about to say that? What are you talking about?
No, it says it on the video stream.
Amy no, Marks, yeah, you're not Chris Amy Marks. You do not.
No, I don't.
You do not want to be her. It's
no.
You have no,
no
idea.
I thought you're going to say you don't look like her.
Well, and that too, but you don't want to, you don't know the kind of emotional stress that happens from a minute to minute basis with her.
Well,
and then you'd have to assume all of it. You don't want that, buddy.
Now, if I were to sit in a therapy session with her about you, what do you think she would say?
Well, I probably what the therapist would say, and that is, you need to get over it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what's the big deal? Get over
Moving
it.
Right along to baseball discussion, and there's a lot to do. Victor Scott II is going to be optioned to Memphis. That was first reported by Tamar Scherer of KMOV yesterday, and it has been picked up by others. No official announcement from the Cardinals, but it sure looks like that has to do with Nathan Church being healthy, and it's kind of what we suspected, is that Vic will have to get some seasoning in the minors, and I don't know if he comes back anytime soon. I think the main goal, and if you listen to Chaim Bloom on Sports on a Sunday Morning yesterday, he didn't say this was going to happen, but what he said was, we really need to work with Vic on some of the offense, just to sort of summarize what he said. Well, they appreciate everything that he does for them. There are some definite things that he and Nolan Gorman need to improve. The difference here, dear Cardinals fans who are going
options.
To comment on, yes.
And I don't mean player options. I mean options for the team of what to do instead.
Exactly. They have competition for Vic. They it's ready-made. Nathan Church, Lars Nootbaar, Joshua Baez, not to mention others that can fit in the outfield right now. And, of course, they have an all-star in the making here in Jordan Walker playing in right field. He's locked that down. So there is still a lot going on with the outfield, and Vic is expendable in so many words. Nolan Gorman isn't. There isn't a third baseman. Blaze Jordan played first base yesterday. There is no third baseman. I mean, Ramon Arias,
and they don't really believe they don't really believe that they can convert him to third base.
Who, Blaze?
No, yes.
Yeah.
The Cardinals don't believe that.
Right. I mean, you know, there's just not a regular third baseman that they can just say, you are on the rise and you're taking over. That doesn't exist at
the
moment.
I'm going to tell you what I said about, and I've been saying about Gorman. And this is not me saying that I think ultimately he's going to develop and he's going to break out, because I have serious doubt that's going to happen. But I am holding out the hope that there is a possibility that something does click for him, where there's a whole lot of consistency and not what you do see, which is, you know, you see a little burst of power and then you don't get anything from him for a couple of weeks. And that's what the trend has been. I think it's more likely that's what happens. But, you know, if he has the starting job for the entire season, I'm not going to be mad about it. And I think then you will know for certain once you get to the end of September, okay, just not working. It's not going to work. He's not going to find it. It's not going to click. Not here. Maybe it does somewhere else, but it's just not going to happen here. And it's because, Tom, he really hasn't up until this point been given the starting third base job and have it said to him that it's your position, my friend. You're the third baseman for the Cardinals in 2026. This is the first time he's gotten that. Will that mean that production eventually follows? I don't know. But if you give him a full 6 months, it might. This might be the thing he needs. Again, I would not bet that it's going to happen, but it is reasonable to let him just play there, considering they don't have better options at the moment, and just see what happens by the time we get to the end of September.
This is also a show that's going to feature Greg Amsinger at 12:15, and I know he's going to be wound up about the Cardinals sweeping the Cincinnati Reds and looking great doing it. I mean, they did it 10-3 on Friday, a terrific outing for in mop-up duty, granted, but Hunter Dobbins shuts him out for five innings. He's now part of the rotation as a sixth starter. Can't wait to chat with Greg about that. How about Lars Nootbaar hitting a bomb in the eighth inning? To push
he had all
the Cardinals
that pent up, didn't he?
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm happy for him. He's one of those infectious energy guys. What is his ceiling? I don't know. Have we seen it already? Don't know. But he is going to get an opportunity to play all the time out there and hits a bomb and does a nice job. And Riley O'Brien is actually who I feel good about mostly because he closed the game Saturday and Sunday. And we all knew that he dealt with some bumps in the road. He's trying to figure out how to be a closer. You got to keep going with Riley O'Brien. If you're the Cardinals, that's the whole point, is you've got to keep going with Riley to teach him what closer is all about. You can't take him out of the closer's role. You got to keep him going. That's the whole point. Closer's the toughest thing to do, I think, in baseball, aside from hitting a baseball consistently. Very few people on the planet get to close a baseball game, and there are very few who are successful for years and years and years doing it. Usually you run into a roadblock. He's learning how to become a closer. So I was really happy for Riley from that standpoint.
So that's, and that's the important thing. That's a, even though he's been the value they've gotten from him is more than what they've gotten from Gorman. Same sort of mindset. Just, you're the closer. You're going to have rough stretches. Pitch your way out of it. You know, figure it out. And so that's the way to approach it with him, because if they do and he's successful at it, they may have found themselves a true closer, or depending on where they are at the deadline and what they're thinking for the future, maybe that's a piece another team comes and gives you a pretty good haul for, where you can continue your rebuild.
There, I feel terrible for our man Yadier Molina, who is sitting here today knowing that two pilots died when a private jet was coming to get him from the Dominican Republic, crashed shortly after takeoff, trying to get him in Texas, said on social media that the plane was coming to pick him up along with family and friends. My condolences to the pilots and their family. Two pilots died when a private jet crashed Sunday at an airport in the Dominican Republic. That is just terrible, just gut-wrenching.
Yeah, and it's a tough one. I got to tell you something, Tom.
Yeah.
We need to have a talk about TMZ, who I enjoy, because TMZ, you know, they break some good stories every now and then, but you can't put a photo of Yadier Molina, like a graphic that they designed of Yadier Molina directly next to an explosion.
I didn't like it.
Because if you see it at first glance, you think, oh my God, what happened to Yadier?
Click.
Yeah, that's... Come on, man. You got to be better than that.
I don't like it.
I'm not a fan of that. Because no. That's what it looks like. If you don't see what's going on, if you're not reading it and you just see the photo, you think, uh-oh, something really bad just happened. And what it says is a private jet slated to fly MLB great Yadier Molina to Puerto Rico crashed shortly after takeoff in the Dominican Republic. And also, if you read that quickly, you may have missed the point that it was slated to pick him up. Like, you might have thought, oh, he was on this plane. It's just, the whole thing is a little ick, and I need TMZ to be better.
There are headline writers out there who did it right, like the Associated Press. Private jet crashes in the Dominican Republic, killing two U.S. pilots. Former Cardinal star Yadier Molina says it was coming to pick him up.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
And I'm very sorry for the loss of the pilots, and I'm very... that's just a tough one.
There's probably some survivor's guilt that happens there.
That's very, very hard. You know? And then there's this one. And we're going to get to baseball again, but this Brendan Sorsby thing's got me a little ticked off, too. Granted a temporary injunction against the NCAA, which could clear the way for him to play for Texas Tech. He was declared ineligible, Chris, for wagering on college sports. Some of those bets were made on his own team while at Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any rules mm-hmm. anymore? I mean, are you kidding? So he was going to miss like the Abilene Christian game and Oregon State. And then you're right back in there, buddy. So the NCAA can appeal to a higher court. I got to imagine they're going to do that in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Because you have to make an example out of him. If we are going to, and we, look, I am, I have a partnership with FanDuel. You've got a partnership with Circa. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, yes, maybe there is a little bias on our parts, but if there's any kind of anything that looks under the table when it comes to a player in college or professionally and betting, sports betting, it makes the job of these sports books more difficult. So what you have to do is make an example out of these dudes. So if they get caught doing anything they're not supposed to as it pertains to sports betting, out. Absolutely zero tolerance whatsoever. The harshest punishment you can find. That's what they should happen to them. And there should be no leeway given whatsoever. Because it's the only way that you can keep the partnerships between the leagues, the teams, and the sports books viable. Because you cannot have people thinking that all of these athletes are out there gambling on their own games. You just can't have it.
Amen. I have nothing more to add. You said it perfectly. That's exactly right. Greg Amsinger of MLB Network is going to join us.
Now, the Cardinals Conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
With Chris Ranji, I'm Tom Ackerman. Our producers are Matt Pajeski and Frank Ladd. You've tuned in to the Gas House Gang. We're glad you're here. We get to talk baseball and other sports as we roll along this morning. And you know what else we get to do, Chris? We get to take comments. And oh my goodness, are there a bunch of them. I mean, I'm scrolling through. Deadly St. Louis wanted to make sure everyone knew he was first. Or she. I don't know.
Congratulations for being first on the text line.
Wants to know, here you go, wants to know, are we still Bears fans if they are in Indiana? Dude, they're like, how far from Soldier Field? It's not that far.
It's like 10 minutes, 15. So from the border of Illinois, it's like a 5-minute walk. It's very, very, very close. In fact, it is closer than Arlington Heights. But apparently the NFL and Roger Goodell, they want the Arlington Heights site. So this Hammond, Indiana thing, which really picked up again on Friday when the Bears put the statement out that they had voted to move ahead with the Hammond, Indiana plan. We'll see where it goes. And there are a lot of people very, very skeptical that that's going to happen, that it's just yet another play by them. But I do think that they'll end up staying in Illinois.
Here's a comment, since Zachary loves to needle a little bit. Since the Brewers do the opposite of what you say every year, have you considered crowning them runaway NL Central champs?
Well, that's what I need to do, because they always, like he said, they tend to... I have killed them every year for the last 5 years, and they always come back. Always.
Yeah.
So, yep, the Brewers are going to win the division and therefore playoffs, and then LCS, and then World Series, and win the whole thing this year.
Wow. So what we're saying is it's over. It's a done deal.
The Milwaukee Brewers are going to win the World Series.
Let's see. Ollie Marmol is, we haven't mentioned this yet, but we will definitely with him tomorrow. But Ollie Marmol's on the National League staff, and I think that gives him some cred. I think his critics won't admit that, but he is now... Because what it does is Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, makes that selection. I think it shows you that the other managers, like Dave Roberts, like Don Mattingly, who's on the staff, they respect Ollie Marmol. Mm-hmm. I think Ollie Marmol is in that fraternity and is well-respected, and I do believe that he will be back in that mix again. I think there's a chance that they could take this team to some great heights, this young Cardinals team that's ahead of schedule. But it'll be a nice experience for him. Surprisingly, he's never been to an All-Star game in his life, probably because he's busy during that time or he likes the time off, what have you. But he's going to have an incredible experience. It really is, having covered a bunch of them, a baseball convention. It's not just the game. The game is just one little piece of the entire experience. It's baseball writers, broadcasters, front office. It's bigger than the winter meetings could ever possibly be, because the players are involved and you have all these historical figures back together again. And it's all happening in Philadelphia, and he is going to eat it up. And I'm really happy for him. And I hope that there is a Jordan Walker sighting for him on that National League roster. I think there will be, one way or the other. I hope there's another player, too, on there if they can get one. But it's going to be great, and I'm happy for Ollie. Ollie is getting some respect, and I'm not sure. It's a little early. It's way early for this. But if this thing keeps going down the tracks the way it is, he's going to get some Manager of the Year nods as well. At least some traction in that area based on what they are doing right now.
The Cardinals are in the mix in the final 2 weeks of September. I agree with you.
Yeah,
I think people will notice. People will notice this was supposed to be, and I don't think they have to be a playoff team. I'm just saying you be in the conversation for a wild card even with a couple of weeks to go in the season. There will be at least a little bit of acknowledgement of that from around baseball. Well, they will say, hey, that's supposed to be a rebuilding team that did nothing or was going to do nothing this year, and they made it interesting. I don't think he wins it unless, obviously, they get into the playoffs. Then he's got a pretty good case. And Brian in Salt Lake, who is listening on, I'm assuming, the Odyssey app, you know, he says thumbs up to Dave Roberts for that. Because, and I agree, we talk about Ollie a lot, and I want to make it clear that I don't want to speak for everybody here, but when I give him praise, I am saying it because, not because he's on the show with us every Tuesday, but it's because I do think he's genuinely pretty good at the job and seems to learn from mistakes. And that's all you can ask for a manager who's relatively inexperienced. And you got all these people that we have who, and they're entitled to their opinions, but people who really don't like him. And we have a couple of pretty loud voices who will send messages and comments on YouTube or on Twitter or whatever. It feels like they don't quite get it. Like they don't quite understand what the job is. And everything that we know about what baseball managers do in 2026, he seems to do most of it pretty darn well. And there is only so much you can do. It's the thing that I mentioned before. Ozzie Guillen always said that you can't win if you don't have the horses. And I'm sure it's not his phrase, but he used to say it a lot. And there are a lot of other managers who agree. If you don't have good players, you are not going to win. You're just not. And so I think it is important to recognize that this team does overperform. They're playing better than they should 2.5 months into the season. They should not be the top wild card right now. They just shouldn't. This is not a great roster right now. It's too young, and there isn't enough talent on it. And you know what? They're in a playoff spot right now. Now, that may fade away here over the next couple of months, but the fact he's got them playing this well 2.5 months into the season, that's a testament to him.
Yes, absolutely. Even one of his biggest critics, if not the biggest, Aces fan, says the Mets are struggling like the Reds. I know Oliver Marmol can maybe get a series win against the Mets. Okay, I know he's saying that tongue-in-cheek, but mm-hmm. I do think. By the way, is Aces, is that Evansville? Or what are we talking about?
You know,
about
it might be. Okay. Might be the Evansville, the Purple Aces.
I'm big on the Ville.
I love the sleeves.
Yeah. Grandpa Dave says, what do you guys think about moving Walker to third, which is his natural position?
No.
That would be a no.
No.
But dude, I appreciate the comment, of course, but he says, he adds to that, to provide playing windows for some of these young outfielders. That's not his job. His job is to play right field.
I can't say no strongly enough because you finally got him comfortable in a position.
Yes.
Let him stay there, and you're getting productive offensive results, too. Let's not mess around with the guy again, okay? You know, I get it, and you know, coming from a really great place, I understand that, but, dude, absolutely not. Keep him in right field. He's flourishing out there. He's doing perfectly fine.
We have a lot of comments that continue to come in. We are going to take a break because we have a great guest coming up for you. Actually, back-to-back guests. So Greg Amsinger is going to move to 12:45. We're going to talk to him coming up at 12:45, our last segment of the show, the MLB Network host. But coming up next, soccer fans are going to love this. The World Cup is happening this week. The United States is taking on Paraguay in their first match on Friday. Mm-hmm. And St. Louis City SC, among others, doing watch parties all throughout the St. Louis area. They've got a big one at Energizer Park this Friday. Brad Davis, the Chaminade grad, Slew Billiken, and former United States men's national team member, is going to talk to us about that very team and the World Cup coming up next.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gas House Gang on KMOX. A good Monday to everyone. Sky's lightening up a little bit out there. It's going to be a hot, hot week. Not as much today. It's just muggy. Just humid.
Yeah. Tomorrow's going to be gross.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we got to experience in town, some of you at least, the Bosnia-Herzegovina versus Panama World Cup friendly that ended up in a 1-1 draw at Energizer Park. Exciting times this month, and including this Friday, USA against Paraguay. There will be a watch party at Energizer Park. That game starts at 8 o'clock. And joining us to talk about the United States men's national team is a former member of the team, Chaminade grad Slew Billiken, and a great visit with Brad Davis is upon us. Hello, Brad.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing great. This is an exciting time. It really is something. You got to go back to 1994. I was 19 years old when I saw the World Cup semifinal at Giants Stadium in East Rutherford and traveled up there from St. Louis and took that in. Here we are in 2026. The world of soccer in the United States especially is a little different now, isn't it?
Absolutely. As we've all talked about here leading up to this World Cup, 94 was basically the birth, of real soccer and a real league within our ecosystem here in the United States, with MLS then being born essentially 2 years later in 1996. Now we're sitting here roughly 30 years later with, the foundation of something that could be absolutely skyrocket and take its next giant step here. We have teams in markets now. We have academies. Kids have more opportunities to go and see and feel and touch the stadiums and look up to this type of stuff that we didn't have back in 94. So we are sitting here anxiously awaiting this next tournament to start and the hopeful success of the United States soccer team.
Well, for somebody who does have some firsthand experience with this event, can you fully describe to people what it's like? Because, for us, it's the Super Bowl or it's the World Series or whatever. But, anybody who's a soccer fan will tell you there's nothing like it.
There truthfully isn't. And to be a fan is one thing. To be around the pandemonium, the fandom, the emotion, the passion, the watch parties and in the bars and all that stuff. That's one thing. And it's an unbelievable feeling, because I was once that as well. And I will be that for this upcoming tournament and into the future. But as a player, it absolutely takes on a different feeling, a different role, a different emotion. And I've been asked this question a million different times. Can you describe the feeling of what it is? It's truthfully not a feeling that you can describe. It's just something that has to be experienced and felt to be able to truthfully put it into something that makes sense. The responsibility, the amount of the pressure that is there, but also the excitement, it comes down to something that is a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong dream for every player that really wants to try and make it. And the people that are on your sleeve with you, from coaches to family to friends, and the support that's there is absolutely incredible. And I mean, I can't even imagine what it's going to feel like for these guys to step out with it being here in the United States. But they absolutely know that there's a responsibility. There's a pressure to go out there and put their best foot forward and try and succeed for this next generation of players.
Soccer great Brad Davis is with us on KMOX. One of our viewers on YouTube, the E-Line, wants to know how much I paid for that 94 semifinal ticket. I paid nothing. My dad's friend Richard Smith took that. Was Italy against Bulgaria, Brad, and it was quite the scene, no doubt about it. Tickets a lot more expensive, especially for that level of game at this point. How good is this U.S. team? I mean, how far realistically do you think they could go? How good are they?
This is a very good team. I mean, and things have been talked about on paper, and from when you look around at where these guys are, where our league is from Major League Soccer to where certain players are playing now overseas in top clubs. This is kind of our overarching golden generation of U.S. soccer. So these players are very good. Can they come together at the right time? And that's truthfully what it comes down to. And I've loved the mentality of Mauricio Pochettino being out in the public in regards to saying why not us? And I love that. And I totally agree with it. And if the players can have that mindset of getting over being kind of, just being here is great. Now we're here to actually make a giant statement. I think this team is the best team that we've had, again, on paper, going into this tournament. So I think they should absolutely get out of their group. I think they could win a knockout game, and if they get to a quarterfinal, I think it is a great success. But once you get there, anything can truthfully happen. It comes down to 90 minutes. And if they get there, the confidence that they're going to have, the home soil, the support that they're going to have on home soil, from a player standpoint, there's going to be nothing better than that. So I truthfully feel like they are going to get out of their group. They can win a knockout game. And if they can move on, anything can truthfully happen, from that standpoint. So, but I truthfully believe that they can make a dent in this tournament with the players that they have. I thought that they had two very good games leading up to it in Senegal and got a good result. And then against Germany, they got punched in the mouth at the beginning of the game, but their response was fantastic. And those games are games that you want to go out and have a good performance. I think they did have good performances, but also you have to look at, you know, each team made drastic subs. That's not the way the game's going to be played when it comes to the World Cup, right? So the mass changes that we saw and things like that. But they stood toe-to-toe. They responded really, really well against Germany. So hopefully that type of form can stay, and we can be consistent and lock down the defense and score some goals. That we're going to get opportunities to score goals and just being clinical in front of goal.
Former men's national team member Brad Davis with us, also from St. Charles, went to SLU. And, you know, when we're talking about how good this team is, this men's national team, I have been seeing a lot from Tim Howard and Landon Donovan just talking about the lower levels of the sport and how in this country we don't do it well enough. We don't train kids well enough. And that's why we have not caught up to the rest of the world. Do you see it the way they see it?
Unfortunately, I do right now. And I see some massive changes with U.S. soccer. I know there's talks behind the scenes of trying to create a cleaner pathway. Right now, I do feel that there are way too many platforms, way too many different things. I don't think clubs, and even in our own market, unfortunately, I don't think clubs work together to create the best environment for kids or best pathways for kids. I still think it's more of a fight over players and different platforms and ideas and things like that. And this is something I totally agree with them on, that if U.S. soccer was going to back out of the Development Academy and put money anywhere, it needs to be back into the youth system, but realigning everything and making it a clear pathway for people and getting everybody back in the same sandbox. Because right now, our best so-called players aren't playing with best so-called players. As you guys probably realize, there's a ton of kids in our market. Our high school sport here in St. Louis is still extremely popular. We're getting 4,000, 5,000 people at high school finals and those types of games. Not everybody's wanting to play in the academies and the full year platforms and things like that. So realistically, our top player, we haven't categorized from a talent pool perspective and gotten people all together in the same environment. I said this a little while ago. I would love to see like St. Louis City be the only true academy in our market, and everybody else goes back and plays in the same sandbox. The games that we'd have, the backyard derbies that we'd have, again, the level that we'd have both for high school and for club would be very, very good and very, very high. And also allowing some of the club coaches to be able to coach in high school, because there's rules against that. I think there's some easy changes or little changes that we could make that could clean things up specifically in our market to make it a lot better. There's going to be fights and arguments. The U.S. is so big, but I feel like if everybody just started in their market and worked together to create the best pathway, and streamline it, that would be the start of something really, really great. And I think St. Louis has the ability to do that. I just don't know if it's going to happen, unfortunately.
What a great event you're a part of on Friday at Energizer Park. It's called the City SC Soccer Celebration. This is a series of free watch party celebrations for the St. Louis region to experience the World Cup together. This will be on Friday, USA against Paraguay. It's going to be a 5 o'clock start for the party, where you have music and all kinds of stuff going on out there, and kids will be kicking the ball around, I'm sure, and having a good time outside Energizer Park. And then the tournament begins at 8. I understand before kickoff and at halftime, you're going to be talking about the tournament with Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott. I mean, if that's not reason enough, and Corey Ray, the sporting director for City, you're all going to be together.
Yeah, it'll be great. Been able to talk to Corey a little bit here since his move into St. Louis City. Obviously, he was extremely busy since arriving here prior to the World Cup and trying to finish out strong, which they did a great job with St. Louis City of going into this World Cup break on a real high. They played some really good soccer, got some great results here. And obviously, anytime I get the opportunity to talk with Mr. McDermott, it's a special time. He's a guy that I don't think has gotten enough credit, to be totally honest, about what he's brought to soccer as a whole in our country, not just here in St. Louis. I mean, he's done broadcasting for many, many years in and around the country for Major League Soccer, all sorts of different things. And I mean, he's a true legend himself. And like I said, any opportunity that we get to sit down and talk soccer, he was a massive supporter of me. I love the opportunity to be able to do that. There's also going to be a couple City players there, in Orozco and Durkin. So the kids will have the opportunity to get a little meet and greet with a couple of the City players. But overall, what a great time for St. Louis. What a great time for soccer in St. Louis and in our country. I'm excited as can be about the start of the tournament and what this can do for our community here. So honestly, it's going to be a great time, and there's going to be continuous events for the summer of soccer through St. Louis City throughout the summer of the next month.
That's really great. The 12th, the 19th, and the 25th, those are the USA Games, and Brad Davis, the former United States men's national team player, joining us on KMOX and part of that soccer celebration with St. Louis City SC. Have fun with it. Thank you for being with us and talking some soccer with us on the Gas House Gang.
I appreciate the opportunity, guys. Thank you.
Great to be with you. We'll have to talk to him again. That was great. It's 12:45. It's time to talk to Greg Amsinger, MLB Network host, next on KMOX.
Next pitch to Nupar is hit hard into right center field. That ball is smoked. It's back, and it's gone! Big fly, Lars Nupar gives the Cardinals a lead in the bottom of the eighth inning, and this crowd is going crazy.
A familiar face in the outfield for the Cardinals in that situation as a pinch hitter. Lars Nootbaar with the home run in the eighth inning on Saturday. Cardinals sweep the series against the Cincinnati Reds. We welcome in MLB Network's Greg Amsinger for his Monday visit on the Gas House Gang. What's up, Greg?
Good to hear your voice, Tom. I'm telling you, every week I join your show, it just becomes more and more realistic that the St. Louis Cardinals are for real. Am I right?
It does feel that way, doesn't it? And especially when you just, things tend to go their way. We know that the 8-9 hitters yesterday seem to be easy outs in Gorman and Scott, and we'll get to all that. And we know that they've had some bumps in the road pitching-wise and here and there. It's to be expected with a young team, but they just keep coming at you. And here they
are. There is a style of play.
Yeah.
I love it, Tom. There is a style of play that it's reminiscent of the way the Milwaukee Brewers play. Honestly, watching the Brewers all these years, grinding out every at bat, guys that I don't believe people understand are incredibly talented players. Like,
I believe the internet monster got.
Well, we might have just lost him there, but I get where he's going, and you'd have to keep bringing players in. Brian Torres hits a home run. You know, he does that yesterday. And the other thing is, they keep putting the ball in play, and eventually, if you're facing a defense that has some holes like the Cincinnati Reds, they're going to kick the ball around. It's exactly what happened. Vic drops down a bunt. They mess it up. They end up making an error after that. Suddenly, it's 5-3, and Riley's warming up. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and their bullpen stinks. And that's the thing. This is what good teams do. One of the things they do is they beat the lousy teams. They beat the teams they're supposed to. And I'm not saying Cincinnati is lousy, but there are some aspects of them that are very, very beatable. So when you and they're not playing particularly well right now. So that means when they do come to town, you got to take 2 of 3. And they did better than that. So kind of difficult to be unhappy with what occurred over the weekend.
Yeah, we'll get to Greg, back to him in just a moment. What do you think of this New York Mets team that I really did think they were going to be good this year? So I'm wrong about that, but I don't think I'm alone there. I think a lot of people thought they were going to be good. They still are in last place in the National League East with a record of 29-36. Here's something that jumps out at me about the Cardinals. They are 35-28. They've won four in a row. They have second place all to themselves. They distance themselves from the Pirates and the Cubs, and they are still on the negative side of a run differential. They're minus two.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the key, they've scored 278 runs and they've given up 280. They need to score runs. That's simple. And have got to figure out a way. And this is why, although it's not been made official yet, the Victor Scott move is necessary. You've got to keep the line moving. Greg Amsinger rejoins us now. And wouldn't you say so, Greg? I mean, the Vic Scott move was coming. We kind of saw that was going to be in the works if Church came back. And that seems to be exactly what's about to go down.
You look, Victor Scott can't be upset, guys, that he didn't get an opportunity. And I say that with a grain of salt because when a big leaguer is hitting ninth every single day, that is a very tough spot to play in. And I've talked to so many big leaguers about that. The game starts, your entire life, you never waited an hour to get your first at-bat. It just mounts the pressure on being productive when you get a chance to hit. And the psychology of it's all real. And he has struggled when you don't hit 200 in the big leagues. And they give you, I mean, my goodness, how many games have we chunked into this season where it's almost 70 games, 63 games. He's got a chance to play almost every single day. So I think he can't be upset with the organization. The opportunity was there. It's difficult to hit ninth, as so many other players that have done that. Pete Armstrong just recently in Chicago. Jackson Holliday still struggling with that with the Baltimore Orioles. It's real. So I hope he can find his swing again. He won't be batting ninth if they send him down. But it's time for the Cardinals to put their best foot forward. You got to have guys that are swinging the bat. So we'll see what other moves they make along the way that follows suit. This might be the first domino to fall, but the Cardinals are starting to recognize that they're legit this year.
Yeah, and I guess they're in a decent position now, Greg, that they can do both things. They can continue to find out about their younger players because, you know, this is supposed to be a bit of a rebuilding season and, you know, trying to figure out the future. So if you do have other options that are playing well, they might be better options than what you have. So they can do that with Victor Scott and bring in Nathan Church and give him a real opportunity and maybe win some games along the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, Nathan Church is not a step down defensively. I think we all have seen what he can do in left field. Put him in center field, you know he's not going to be a liability at all. So when you take a guy with the defensive range of Victor Scott and you take him out of the lineup, you're hoping that it's not a major drop-off. Church is not going to be that defensively. He's going to give you a better at-bat. We've seen that already. I just think the Cardinals are going to be better at the moment. And look, it's a team that, to me, I look for fluky stats to see if a team's for real or not. I'm not as much into the run differential as other teams are, or other people are, maybe media members are. I look at records, right? They're 19-16 at home. That's not a fluke. They're 16-12 on the road. That's not a fluke. They're 12-8 in the division. That's not a fluke. To me, that means they're competing each and every series at a very high level. And we've seen a couple series that didn't go their way, and it looked like they were going to have a real reality check when the Cubs came to town. Not only did they pass that test with flying colors, here we stand a week later, and they sweep the Cincinnati Reds. I know there's no Ellie De La Cruz, but if you're looking for interdivision tests that the Cardinals need to get at least a B-plus on, I think they've got an A right now, and that should be making every Cardinal fan happy.
I think they have a good manager and a good staff, and they're winning the gut check games. The one-run games are going their way, and that's not a fluke, and that's not luck. That is just they have found a way to do it. They just find a way, and the Cardinals right now are five games out in the Central. They got the Mets, which is right down the street from Greg Amsinger, who's the host of MLB Tonight on MLB Network. It's America's pregame show. I do believe it starts at 4 Central today. Is that right, Greg?
That's right. Yeah, tune in. We're going to have all kinds of fun. But yeah, J.J. Weatherholt was in today on MLB Central. It was nice. Awesome. And so was McGreevy. So we're giving the young stars some love here in beautiful Sea Caucus, New Jersey.
Atta baby. That's one of the best things about playing New York is that your guys get that national attention when they get out there. Thank you, Greg. Have a great rest of your day.
See you guys.
Greg Amsinger, MLB Network. That's the Gas House Gang on KMOX. For Chris Ranji, I'm Tom Ackerman. Thanks for joining us.